1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, we studied yesterday. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And as I said, that's not a good translation. Let me targum or paraphrase it. Make it your aim to cease from your own labor and effort, and to always be at peace by laying hold of this love, which is the introduction to it. Right?
Would you say it one more time, please?
Make it your aim and purpose to cease from your own labor and effort, to always be at peace by laying hold of this love that was spoken of in the previous chapter, previous verses. So it's a big deal. Now, the next verse. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. The word that is the in order that, because of the previous, that you've laid hold of this, you've made it your aim. And that you walk as you conduct your life. The word honestly is not, that's not a good translation. It's gracefully or elegantly. Bearing oneself becomingly in thought and word and deed. That you may have, or that you may possess, that state of being in which you lack nothing. Now, for some reason, the last few days, I've been consumed with what his presence means, the whole idea of the end of the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to John 17 and see if we can comprehend this or be apprehended by it. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father. It starts in verse 1 of chapter 17, but we're going to start at verse 15. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one, is what it says. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's pretty heavy. Anybody see anything in the reading of that?
A lot of talk about him and us and us and him.
Gary?
I just, the idea that he just has declared his name. That's it. You know, that's the Father, right?
Let's go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Last night we, in our little Bible study, we studied this first great prayer in Ephesians, which is Ephesians 1, verse 15 on. And the second great prayer in Ephesians starts in verse chapter 3, verse 14. And then, therefore, because of that, we'll read what happens. So verse 14, chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that he being rooted and grounded in love, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up high, on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. There is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body. When you are baptized, when I was baptized, it was as if and in the same point and same time that Jesus Christ was baptized. Each of us partake of that one baptism. You understand that? And when we do so, there is one resurrection. There is one resurrection. He is resurrected as Son of God from his baptism, and so his aspect of Son of Man was dead. The same in us. When we are baptized, we are baptized wherever we are in that baptism, you are baptized into his death. One time. There's only one baptism in the whole world. There's only one resurrection. There's only one faith. There's only one body. And so when all this takes place, then the only commonality is that one resurrection. Are you part of that one resurrection? If you are, then you will know something beyond the capacity of your of knowing it. And that is, you will know and perceive and understand his presence. Because his presence is the church. Now, it goes beyond anything. But the only way you will know it is when you have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. Now, most of the things you lose are all the possessions and ideas and activities of your mind. He can only occupy in the state, in your state of nothingness. I've said it before, I'll say it till hell freezes over. You must be in that state of nothingness, of empty, of all. And then you will know and understand and be perceived of his presence. That, you know, we can talk forever about, well, Christ is in me, and then I'm in Christ, and then we got blah, 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 blah. It has to do with this presence. That's the only thing that's important. That is his church. And this is what they're saying here in Thessalonians. We must regain that faith, that presence, that knowledge. There's only one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one body. And we are baptized into that one baptism. His resurrection is we are partaker of that one resurrection. Am I communicating? It's no longer about repeating phrases in your mind or even going to war with anything. Because that presence in the face of him, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
We talked about it at Bible study last night, you know, regarding the first love and how the warfare that went on just to get to that
point. Amen. And that point is everything.
Yeah. And once that warfare has already been gone through, it's not like he's, you know, this is where I came to do this whole warfare again. No. You already know. And that's us.
Verse 2 Corinthians chapter 3, start in verse 13. 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or simpleness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Scriptures, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, and the turn there means abandon self, leave you behind, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are transformed, transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, this is talking about what's going on in your mind. What is the dishonesty that goes on in your mind? Because you build again the things which you once destroyed. You came to Him. As you received Him, you were empty. Hopeless. Nothingness. And as you received Him, walk there in Him. No more what ifs. No more what do I do about that. His presence overshadows everything. You don't analyze darkness. You turn the light on. Now He is that light that shineth in all places at all times. The only question is the veil taken away from your eyes and your heart. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Well, I got to do this, and then this will happen, and then this will happen, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, what about this? If I do that, then that will happen. And oh, if I, well, what about, oh, what about that? Oh, what about this? I have to do that. No, I have to do that. An endless crap that goes on in your mind. You've renounced those hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, not adding it to justify your own sin, your own rebellion. That's what it says here. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Total openness. One body, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That veil will always be there as long as there's any attempt at self. You understand? Self-worrying, self-thinking, what am I going to do about this, what am I going to do about that, blah, blah, blah. Endless. As long as that is there, the veil is there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One faith, one Lord, one body, one baptism, one resurrection. We are made partakers of His death, one death. When He was baptized, you were baptized. When He was crucified, you were crucified. When He was resurrected, you were he was resurrected in you. Because time is out of the picture, don't you see? One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body, one mystery. Doesn't matter what you think about the mystery, nobody cares. Therefore, one presence, one first love. He is all in and all. Amen? What, Gary, you look troubled.
No, I'm just thinking it's the one connection.
That's what he prayed.
Preaching is the declaration of it, but then it's ours to confirm it.
Right.
You
all you have to do is recognize it, because it's all, I can't teach you anything. Yeah. But you already know this, and if it slaps, boom, then you have no more excuse for walking in darkness. No matter what the situation.
Yeah, light just causes those things in darkness that are images. They just go away.
Turn the light on. So, let's go back and see what this means. 1 Thessalonians, verse 12. Well, we're going to start in verse 11 again. Let me target them, verse 11. You've made it your aim to cease from your own labor and effort, and to always be at peace by laying hold of this love, that you may walk in order that you may conduct your life in grace and elegance, and that you may possess that state of being always, that state of being where you lack nothing. That's pretty heavy, but it's the only one truth. He doesn't care what you think about the truth. Josiah? Anything? More, so much more now. The Lord is my life. That just pointed, 23rd Psalm pointed to a mystery. It's a wonderful psalm. Now, for me to live as Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. So he can exist in his fullness in this state of nothingness in me. And by that, you walk. The walk that you do is elegant. Graceful, because it's a state of being in which you are the light, because he is the light. No more searching for something, no more seeking after. Because now you are seated with him, in him. At the first source of all things. So you cannot have a lack. Because you've laid hold of that mystery, that presence, that love. Amen? John? Carolyn? Pete?
He's Christ, really.
No, I'm not down.
Take a big guy already.
I'm just overwhelmed by this.
I did last night when you brought it up. Because it was so true. In that moment of being completely empty, completely, you don't even know what's going on because you're not there anymore. And what happens in those moments are completely indescribable. There's no way. And yet it's the most intense experience that a person can ever have in their earthly life or spiritual life. Ever.
And he wants you to lay hold of that and walk in that place constantly. Never again returning to the weak and beggarly elements and principles of life. In truth, we're just about to celebrate Passover. First we celebrate Purim and the victory over self. And we celebrate that resurrection and that mystery of God. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one resurrection. Take a big guy.